You would go ahead and take and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Reading verse 4. We've been looking at this war that we're in. Any of you feel like you was in the battle this past week? Huh? I tell you what, the more you get involved in it, I'm tell you what, the tougher it's going to get. Brother Jim didn't have an idea what it meant to be in politics, so he got in there for a while, and he found out it was probably sometimes more of a fight than he wanted. And that's the way it is in life. You get it there, the more you get involved in something, the more you know about something. Solomon, one of the smartest men that ever lived, wisest when it comes to making decisions for government and governing the people of Israel, he said, with much knowledge comes much sorrow. So the more you know, there's going to be some consequences to that, and one of what it is the devil, you're going to become a target. And, you know, and I've tried to get us to understand, though, if you really want to live for God, you really want to serve God, as our apostle did, the apostle Paul, or as any of the other apostles, or any of the other of the prophets or the saints of God, the more you give yourself to God, you can look for one thing to happen, and that's more trouble, more problems, more suffering. There's going to be more suffering. And I said, you know, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the only way you're going to know that is the second part of that is the fellowship of his suffering. And we've seen how Paul suffered, you know, and he was taken prisoner and beaten and cast into prison. But what was his answer? He rejoiced. So we understand that we're in a war. We've kind of looked over, and if we're going to fight this war, we got to realize that we're in a war. And we need to be prepared. You know, we got to make that preparation for this war. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do some preparation. I'm trying to prepare me. I'm trying to prepare me, and I'm telling you about some things that I'm reading and that I'm praying about. Boy, I thought it was really good the way God sent Brother Craig in here to preach on prayer to us last week. Because it goes right along with this warfare. But I'll tell you what, you got to be in contact with your commanding officer. Boy, that's one of the things that you didn't want to happen. You get into a battle, you lose communications. You need to know what I mean, the people you're fighting with, what they're doing. You need to hear, you need to be able to hear from, you know, from headquarters. You know, you need to know, and they need to know what's going on. But praise God, our commander knows what's going on, amen? He knows it all. I mean, he knows it before it even happens. And so we need to be in touch with, you know, our commander. We need to be in touch, you know, with the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And prayer is essential in that. And we're not going to talk about that today, but that's we are going to hit around it a little bit. But not only we need to know that we're in a war, we need to know our enemies. And we looked at that over the last few Sundays. The enemies, the world, and the flesh, and the devil. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the way some of these enemies attack us. And then next week, by the grace of God, we're going to look We're going to look at God and how He, we look to Him for the power to overcome these attacks. And we're going to look at a little bit of it today. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I said, look in verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." But I love its next part. "They're not carnal, but mighty." It's like God saying, "Hey, you know them little old toys that y'all got? You know, them rifles, you know, that artillery, those grenades, those rocket launchers, hey, those nuclear bombs." He said, "They're carnal." He said, "But your weapons are mighty." So what he's saying? These weapons are powerless. They have no power whatsoever in this war that we're fighting. They have no value. They have no power. They have no, there's no strength in them. But God's saying, in this warfare, the weapons that you have access to, they are mighty. It says right here, they are mighty through God. Now, they're not mighty through us. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when you're at war, I've never been to war, in a physical war. I hope I never have to be in the middle of one. I really do. I hope I never have to go through that. But one of the things you realize, hey, when the enemy comes in, if you're going to rout them out, you got to pull down their strongholds. You got to root them out. They said that the Japanese had so dug into those islands over there that if it hadn't have dropped the bomb, it would have took them years and years to have rooted them out because they had strongholds. They were rooted in. Well, the devil's got strongholds too. And the Bible said that the weapons that we have to go against what he's doing, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the thing about the war, you got to have objectives. You got to know what you're trying to accomplish. I talked to this brother, and we was talking about campaigns. And how many campaigns you say you were in?
Nine.
And you said so many were offensive and so many. Okay. Now, the thing is, you got to have an objective when you go into a battle. You got to know what you're trying to accomplish. You got to have a plan. You got to know what you're trying to accomplish. You got to have an objective. And, hey, you've got to have a plan. Well, God has given us some objectives. Notice what he said, the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy has got a plan. His plan is to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's his plan. He's got a plan. And he's working hard. He's got objectives. His objective is to kill, to steal and destroy. And he's got plans to do it, and he's got weapons to do it. And you got to understand what his plans are. He's not ignoring. Hey, he knows right where you're at. I'm not saying Satan himself knows who I am. He probably don't. But he's got some lieutenants. He's got some subordinates that know who I am. They know who you are. Knows where this church is. You got principalities that knows exactly where Gospel Light is at and what they are doing. They're watching. They're keeping their eyes on what's going on and why. They want to stop it. They want to steal and to kill and to destroy. And they know that we, on the other hand, are trying to save. Seek and save that which is lost. And the devil and this world and the flesh is against everything that this church stands for. And us as a body of believers, we need to have that understanding that Satan knows us. He's, hey, I guarantee you, he's probably, a lot of times on Sunday morning, I'm the first one to stick a key in the door over, but guess who's already here? I guarantee you, huh? Got here before I did. Got to have a dead battery on the bus this morning. He got here before I did. He's out here. He's against anything that we're trying to do, and he's got his people in place. And if you don't realize that, you're in a war against beings that have a mind, that are targeting, that are trying to destroy the works of God, then you're not going to be very effective in this fight. You need to not be ignorant. Now, that's one of the first things I want to look at, the enemies of God. I'm just going to read out some thoughts that I had about these weapons. The first one I want to bring out is ignorance. Ignorance. Ignorance, deceit, fear, and pride. One of the greatest tools of the devil is to keep us ignorant. He wants you to look at him. How many of us here, I can remember Preacher Whitehart say, if he said it once, he said it 1,000 times. Hey, you don't think the devil is in this red suit with a pitchfork coming at you. That ain't the way he's coming at you. But that's the way the world portrays him. As he's ugly, you know, sinister, you know, disgusting, you know, creatures that, oh man, just the very looks of them terrify you and will make, that's ignorance. He don't come, he comes attractive. He comes subtle. Man, he don't come in like a bunch of raiding Comanches coming at you. If you did, you'd get ready, you know? If he was coming at us that way, we were in that kind of a fight, we would get ready, we'd prepare. We said, man, I ain't letting that happen no more. That ain't the way it worked. He come in subtly. He's compared to a serpent. And you look at a serpent, the way he strikes, he takes all the time in the world. It's your ignorance. If you ever get bit by a snake, it's because you're ignorant. Huh? You don't know he's laying there. Huh? Because he has no power over you as long as you know where he's at. I have yet to see a snake run anybody down and bite them. Because he can't. He does not have that much power. And Satan is like that. He only has, for a child of God, he only has power in our life that we give him. Because the more we yield ourselves to God, the less power he has in our life. So he likes us to be, he wants us to be ignorant. The Bible said we are not ignorant of his devices, but I say we are. Well, because when the Bible said we are not ignorant, he's talking about men that were walking with God. He was talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He was talking about Christ. He's talking about God. You see? But I'm afraid that for the most part today, the church is ignorant of his devices. I was thinking that I was going down the road this morning. I went past the, what's that, LDS, you know, the Church of Antichrist, of Latter-day Satanists, Latter-day Saints. Okay, I went past an LDS church, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I would really like to be able to sit down with elders and just discuss the Bible. Just sit down and let's open up the Bible and see, why do you believe what you believe? Get them to tell me. Let me tell you, let's look at the Scripture. That's what Paul did when he dealt with those cults. He took the Scriptures. He went into the synagogue. Them Jews were non-believers. It was a false way of salvation. And he went and he opened up the Scripture. He went into the synagogues, which were teaching a false way of salvation. He went into Mars Hill with all those people that were pagans. What did he do? He opened up the Scriptures. He told them the Word of God. He just opened up the Word of God to people. he took, he contended with them, with the Scriptures. Hey, and they took and they sat down and they reasoned with looking at the Scriptures. He looked to their reasoning. He was hunting for reasonable people. Now, and I passed by, you know what I saw? I saw a church full of ignorance. A congregation of ignorant men. And I went on down the road, and I went on down towards, I went down Old Concord Road, and I was going out there. Great big old assembly hall of ignorant men. They are not our enemy. The Bible said we war not against flesh and blood. Those men are not our enemy. But that is a stronghold of Satan. And but our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Maybe if we weren't so doggone ignorant fighting with men, and we get back into the business of fighting with principalities. Get back into the business of fighting against who the real enemies are. Satan. This world system that he created. And our flesh that he tries to manipulate every day. This right here. So one of those things is ignorance. He'll come. The Bible said we are not ignorant of his devices. But I say oftentimes we are ignorant of his devices. And deceit. He deceives. Man, people, I really don't think most people go out to serve Satan on purpose. There are some of them out there that do. They called themselves Satanists. They called themselves, you know, they say that they worship the devil. But they really don't worship the devil. They worship themselves. If you've ever talked with any of these people, if anybody in here ever talked with a witch or with a Satanist, God has allowed me to pass by several of them in my life. I never forget out knocking doors one day and I got talking with this woman. She said, well, I go to First Baptist Church up here over in Enochville. And I said, well, that's good. I said, I ain't taking it for granted that she was saved. So I asked her if she knew. She said, I said, you don't understand. She said, I'm a Wiccan. So I'm a Wiccan. I said, oh, it's okay. I said, so why do you go to church up here? And she said, well, I go with my mother. And I said, okay. And I had this boy, he was visiting with me. I said, which gods do you worship? And she named two gods that she worshiped principally. That was her principal gods that she worshiped. See, and when I asked her that, and she said that old boy beside me, his eyes go, boom, I mean, it just bang. You know, it just took him by. It shocked him. He didn't realize that they're out here. But, you know, she doesn't realize that these gods that she's worshiping, their desire is to kill her and destroy her in a lake of fire. She's ignorant, you see. She's ignorant of what the devil is doing. She's not my enemy. She's the goal. You know? She's the goal. She wasn't the enemy. She's the goal. She's the principality, you know, that needs to be a stronghold of these principalities that we are to take the Word of God and pull down. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I said, you know, the God I serve created them gods. I said, the God I serve created those gods. Matter of fact, there was one rocker who said one time, a guy wanted to talk to him about Christ. He said, I don't talk to anybody that serves a greater deity than I serve. He understood that God was God. the only true God, the God that created all these little bitty gods. And these little bitty gods are devils. That's what the scripture says. These are rebels. These are those that rebelled against God and followed Lucifer. And now they war. They war to destroy us because they hate us because God loves us. That's why they hate us. The only reason why they hate us is because God loves us. You see, and they don't hate you any more than they hate that girl. They hate that girl just as equally as they do us. All those people that show devotion to Satan has no love for them, even though they show devotion to him. He had one desire, and that's to destroy them. Because he hates them. He sees them as a bunch of little monkeys, you know, that he hates. And he can't understand why God would prefer them over him. He hates them. He hates us. Now, God will take and use our ignorance oftentimes and keep us from being effective in this war. That's all I'm trying to get us to understand. Is we need to realize who the true enemies are and who's really not our enemies. Hillary Clinton is not our enemy. Now, how many of you love Hillary Clinton? Huh? Ain't a person in here that got any taste for her. As far as you're concerned, she is a devil. Well, she's full of it. I'll go along with that. But she is not our enemy. Bill Clinton was not our enemy. These are strongholds of the devil. These strongholds are not to be destroyed. They're to be pulled down. We're to get those, we're to fight and try to get the enemy out of these strongholds and liberate them. That's what's needed. What he did for us, right? Huh? Weren't we once enemies of God? Were we not? Huh? No hope of God in this world? Depraved? Haters of God? And enmity. You say, well, I was raised in church all my life. I don't make any difference. You don't think God's got enemies in the church around? I believe we've got whole congregations of churches that don't care nothing about God. Huh? Just a social club. What do they need? To be destroyed? No, they need people to get in the war, to get in the fight, to get to come to the, like our first scripture we read, that we're able to go forth to war. Now we got to understand we cannot be ignorant and be able to go forth to war. I was sitting there, hey, I know in this class, Brother Joe, man, he's pumped you full of things that we need to be getting out to other people. Jehovah's Witnesses, they, you know what? They're ignorant people. If they knew, if they could sit and got their teaching on those mysteries, and saw that mystery, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, they would know who Jesus really is. But they're ignorant. But I was sitting there thinking, and I'm sitting there going over it, I was trying to remember all seven of those mysteries going down the road. I can look them up, but if I were to call on you, you think you could quote what all seven of those mysteries are? But that, wait a minute. Doesn't that say that this was our stewardship? Isn't that our stewardship? Ain't that what we read? Ain't that what, you know, Joe was teaching us? Why is it our stewardship? It is to make us able to go forth to war. So we need to have these things. We need to have them as part of our battle gear if we're going to go forth and be able to go forth to war. We need to be able, when these people have questions, that we can take the Word of God. We were over visiting over behind the mall here a while back, and I told Brother Terry, I said, I'm going to go up there and hit this door. He said, he didn't need you going up there. I said, that guy's a Jehovah's Witness. I know him. He's a friend of mine. He said, all he's going to do is argue with you. I said, he ain't going to argue with me. Well, I wasn't going to argue with him. I said, I'm going to go up there and talk with him. So I went up there and knocked on the door and invited me in. He's in a wheelchair. And he came in and sat down and he asked me if I knew who the 144,000 was. And I let him talk a little bit. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I know that there are 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. I said, that's all I know. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, I know you remember the kingdom of Paul, kingdom of Paul, Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, can you tell me about the two kingdoms? I'm reasoning with him with the scripture. Can you tell me about the two kingdoms? Can you tell me what the difference is between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Why? I knew more than he did? No, because he needs to know that. He needs to be taught out of that ignorance. I said, and do you know how you get into those two kingdoms? What does it take to get into these two kingdoms? And there's two of them. Can you? And he didn't know. He didn't know about those two kingdoms. And I had to be able to have scripture and show him the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That the kingdom of heaven was that kingdom that's going to be set up on this earth. And I said, there ain't but one person that can set that up, set that kingdom up, and that's Jesus Christ when he returns. And if you're trying to set up the kingdom of heaven, you cannot, you don't have the power. It's going to take Jesus Christ coming back to set up that kingdom. I said, another thing, I said, you have no power to get into the other kingdom, the kingdom of God. You've got to be birthed into that kingdom. And it takes the power of the risen Christ. He baptizes you into his body, which puts you into the kingdom of God. We've got to be able to reason with people with the scriptures. Not look at them like they're our enemy because we're afraid to talk to them because they know what they believe and we don't know what we believe. I'm sitting there, I'm coming down the road, I'm rehearsing them, I'm trying to remember all those different mysteries. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity, which doth already work. And I brought this out. It's not working so much in the world. A mystery of iniquity is working inside the church. It's working to deceive us. It's working. It's working to keep us ignorant. It's working to bring false doctrine into the flock. You know, like it did in Galatia, you know, where they're adding works to salvation. Or like in Corinthians, where they were become fleshly minded. The mystery of iniquity was working there in the churches. And you look in the seven churches of Asia, different iniquities was working in those churches. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Oh, the world is in iniquity. They have no righteousness at all. But the mystery of iniquity is working in our churches. And if you're going to be able to go forth to war and to help people, you need to understand this and be on guard. Be fighting. Working against it. So the weapons is ignorance, deceit, and fear. Fear. People are fearful. You knock doors. You're a door knocker, okay? I don't know about you. Every time I go door knocking, you know what? Fear shows up. You go up there, you want to knock that door, and you're sitting there, and you go, you're hoping ain't nobody there. Am I telling you the truth? Huh? Y'all ever have that, you know? You got a loved one you want to talk to? Fear. Oh, my goodness. Fear. Fear that you you're going to offend. Fear is you're going to hurt. Fear, you know, you're going to fail. Fear. And that's a great weapon of the enemy. Satan, those devils, man, they love to keep us ignorant. They love to deceive, and they love to bring on fear. The Bible says, fear not sudden fear. That's a good scripture to memorize. You know why? Because you're going to be attacked with fear. You're going to wonder where that emotion came from. And you know what you got to do? You got to cast it down. You've been given scripture which produces faith. Fear not fear. That's the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God. So you put that scripture in your arsenal, fear not fear. So when you go up to that door and you want to, you get up there and you quit, fear not fear. Oh, sorry about that.
You're going to get returned.
Probably. But fear not fear. Fear not sudden fear. When you go ahead and you put it in, you be bold as a lion. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? They come out with a gun and send you to heaven?
Amen.
Have you had anybody pull a gun on you out door knocking? Any of you?
No.
I have. I was over there. I'm trying to think. You know where the old Chinese buffet used to be? Come over in 52. It split off up there. That neighborhood back in there behind there. Me and a fellow over at West Park. We was over there knocking doors. And we knocked this door. I knocked on the door. Nobody came and knocked again. I said, well, we'll turn around and start walking off. And about that time, this guy come out from around the back. Come out there. He's brandishing a gun. Got it cocked. Come down there. He said, that's a good way to get shot. I said, knocking on your door is a good way to get shot? I said, I can understand if I was trying to crawl through the window and getting shot, but I knocked on your door. And that's a good way to get shot? Now, he started off and God was going to try and say, ain't me trying to talk with him. He is doing this. He's trying to scare us. And Satan was using him to try to make us afraid so we wouldn't go up there to the next door. Huh? I said, leave him alone. He wasn't going to listen. He just tried to start in. I right off the bat, I asked him, I said, knocking on your door is a way to get shot. He started off. I said, wasn't no need trying to talk with him. It's going up the road. If he's going to shoot me, he's going to shoot me in my back because I didn't make my mind I wasn't going to be afraid. Went on up the door and started knocking the door. I've been afraid a few times. I've had some guys scare me. Knocked on the door one night and there was a zombie in the door. You laugh, but I tell you what, if I ever see anybody that I thought was a zombie, this guy is at the door. I introduced myself. We're out here visiting for the church. And he goes, I kid you not. I turn around and look at my uncle, Bill Cranfield, and he turned around and looked at me. He tried to talk to him. He did the same thing. He just, I left her. I said, you reckon he was doing that on purpose? I don't know. But that'd make you kind of nervous if you run into people like that. But Satan wants you to be fearful. This is an attack. This is an attack. It's one of his weapons that he's going to use against us. It's fear and ignorance. And then another one, a great powerful weapon that Satan will use against us is our pride. Is our pride. Man, you get a victory, you get a victory, and the first thing the devil will do will try to pump you up. You sit in a good spiritual service and you learn something, you know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Got to be careful about learning things from the Word of God. It'll puff you up. It'll make you proud. Satan knows, he knows, probably took all the information that's in our minds as far as what's in this world and things in heaven. He knows more than all of us. He's been around here, he's been around for who knows how long. He was here from the beginning. I don't know what all he knows. I know he doesn't know the way of salvation. I know there's things, I know some things that he don't know. I know that. But I also know he has great knowledge. These institutions of learning, you can run across people that know a lot. And you know what their knowledge does? Puffs them up. Makes them proud. You ever talk to any people like that? Huh? You ever come away from talking to somebody and you rebuke yourself because you feel like maybe you got a little lifted up? You weren't as usable as you should have been because your pride got in the way? Especially when somebody, you know, tries to humiliate you, you know? I get that a lot on the workplace. I work with people who try to humiliate you. I got to be careful because pride will come in there. And this thing of pride is probably one of the slipperiest of all slopes because it takes so many different forms. You know, you may be acting very pious and be full of pride. You may be, you know, telling yourself, you know, that you're humbling yourself, and the whole time, all you're doing is promoting yourself. We got to be careful. This thing is this weapon of pride. The Bible says Satan is the king of all the children of pride. And when we get into that area of pride, we allow pride to be in us. And he's king over pride. He knows how to deal with pride. He knows how to manipulate pride. We got to be careful of this weapon of pride. You know what to keep you humble? You want to keep yourself humble? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. When they took him and they ridiculed him and they mocked him and they did all those things, he said, he opened not his mouth. So you're a child of the devil. You're laid up there mocking him. Oh, I thought you was king of the Jews. I thought you was that one. And they mocked him. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He looked down there. Did he see enemies? No. He saw the goal. He saw, you know, hey, this is what I'm fighting for. Pride. That's some of the principal weapons of the devil. Now, in this warfare, you got also weapons that your flesh uses against you. Number one is selfishness. Selfishness. I know everybody in here is so spiritual, you don't ever have no problem with selfishness. But I do. Sometimes, you know, the group wanting to do something, I don't want to do that. I feel so selfish. Well, I don't ever want to do what I want to do. You know? I'm talking about the family, you know? It's easy. Selfishness is an easy thing to get involved in. Especially you get a little bit of money in your pocket and the next thing you know, you start thinking it's yours. But it's not. You say, well, no, 10% of it's God's. No, it's all God's. 10% is just what God required to take care of the priests and the Levites under the law. And we're not under the law. We're under grace. And the Bible said we're to give. We're to be cheerful givers and giving, you know, as God has given unto us and blessed us. Probably should be well over 10% for most people. But more than that, we are to understand that the way we spend it all, it's all God's. But how much of our spending do we ask God about? How much of our spending is based on what this flesh wants? How much of what God has put in under our care as stewards, are we truly being stewards or are we being masters? We got to watch this thing. Selfishness, lust. Lust ain't always bad. The Bible said the spirit lusteth the envy. In other words, the spirit doesn't like it when we're serving ourselves. When we're off in sin, we're coveting the wrong, we're coveting things. But the Bible says lust. And lust is a great enemy of this flesh. This flesh is constantly saying, give, give, I want more. Satisfy me. Satisfy me. And that's an enemy that you got to be aware of. You know, I asked that question. How many of you ever have a problem? Maybe your wife says, let's go out to eat tonight. You say, okay. You say, well, where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. What you in the mood for? I don't know. Because you got so much out there. You want to satisfy that lust rather than satisfying taking care of your body for the use of God. Lust. Undisciplined. If we ain't careful, we'll let in our ignorance, in our selfishness, we become totally undisciplined. Not bringing this flesh under control. And you got to be careful of this. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is discipline. I'm trying to remember the word. It won't come to me right now. But that's the only way that we can conquer this thing of being undisciplined. We've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to let the Spirit of God discipline us. I mean, we're not given over to drunkenness. We're not given over to the lust of the flesh. You know, we discipline ourselves, and that has to be a conscious fight. We got to say to the Spirit every day, God, you know my weaknesses, you know my frailties, you know the sin that does so easily beset me, and you know the weights that I'm dragging around that are not necessarily sins, but they're hindering me in this battle. Man, you go, hey, when you're really in the fight, you're not wanting to carry around a bunch of magazines that they come from home, you know, so you can look at the magazines while you're out there, you know, out there in the jungles. You know, hey, we might get a little break. I'll stop. No, you want the essentials. You want to put aside those weights because, buddy, when it's time to move, you want to be able to move as quickly as possible. How much, though, are we weighted down because of our lack of discipline? Stuff. Even old Pharaoh told Jacob to regard not the stuff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I didn't get as far as I'd like to have, and we'll just have to finish up on this next week.